This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
You know, there wasn't a lot of people saying a lot of tremendously positive things about us. And Ken always feels like when we hit a stretch, it's like, man, here we go. I just don't understand the mentality. I get it. Look, you know, we're two and a half games out of first place. And I swear it feels like we're walking around and, like, we haven't done a thing right. I literally scratch my head about it every day. And people say, oh, this guy's a blind optimist. I'm as realistic a person as you want to meet. I get the fact we got to hit better. I get the fact our starting pitching's got to be better. At some point, a little bit of appreciation or a little bit of, you know, it's. I guess what I'm getting at for the group and maybe for myself as well, and you look up and you win a series on the road against the Marlins, and then you go to New York and you win 3 out of 4. And you come back in all three, and you come back and fight like heck for the fourth one. And then you come back and you split a series with the Marlins in really good games. And then you win 2 out of 3 against Anaheim. And the last game that we actually lost, because I hate to break it to people, it's going to happen this year occasionally. And we don't want it to happen. Don't misinterpret. And we're down 6-0 with 2 outs and nobody on the ninth and have the winning run of the plate. And it's like, man, you guys are going to put it together. You guys are going to get there. What do you got to do? Like, well, I don't know. You know, we're the best base running team in baseball. We don't give up a lot of free things. You know, this town, I've always thought, appreciated good, clean baseball and effort. We can't play much cleaner, and we can't give much more effort than what we're given. And so, you know, would we like to string it together and with our starting pitching a little bit more consistently? Yes. Would we like to score more runs and that be the difference maker? Absolutely. Long answer to your question, and maybe not exactly the answer you're looking for, but it provided me an opportunity. You know, the fact of the matter is a good team that is achieving in a lot of different ways, and you want to appreciate that, and we are not going to put our head in sand on the fact that we got to score more runs. But I'm not going to sit here and say that this is a team that's like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with this team? This is a very tough division. It's a very tough competitive league now, and we'd love to be 10 games over and, you know, partying like rock stars. We'll do it at some point, and I guess I just want to make sure that people appreciate where we're coming from and know that I care about this team and the proverbial have their backs, because they've done a lot of really things well, and I'd like to see that rewarded occasionally.
And then,
well, he put Plowser to sleep.
All right, Darren.
Okay, there we go. Now, let me just say this.
He put him to sleep.
All I did, and I didn't hear it, okay? I was out of town, beautiful British Columbia. We were not getting the Mike Schilt rant up in British Columbia. But I kept reading on Twitter about this rant from the manager. And I even reached out to Charlie Marlowe, who was tweeting about the rant yesterday on Twitter. I said, you have video of it. He said he's going to try to find it. First thing I said to Frank during the commercial break, hey, do we have any audio? I want to hear the rant. So we played the rant. That was not a rant.
No. We still haven't found a rant.
I mean, that's the rant?
I mean, it's not Tony La Russa saying, it's the first week of the season.
No.
Well, remember last week I said this team was boring. He's boring.
So you're the one.
I'm the one
who started this.
I'm going to get problems. I said it last week twice. The team is boring. The team takes on the style and lifestyle of your manager.
The identity.
They do that. He's boring. I mean, it's just the personality of him. We knew this time of the year was coming with the Cardinals, and it couldn't have come at the worst time because people are riding a high on the Blues. Craig Berube was at the game the other night. I'm sure that kind of set him off. Mm-hmm. So, come on, calm down.
You know what, though? I will say this. I don't disagree with him. I think the fans here do get restless quickly. And they're ready to jump off the cliff a little bit too fast. He said they're 2.5 games out of first place. The way people are walking around and acting here in St. Louis, it feels like they're 12.5 games out of first place. 2.5 games is not a lot.
But they're 3 games out of last place also.
They're just fortunate they're in a really parity-filled division.
And so this team obviously is not as good as the teams we once saw. They lack star power. They lack personality. They lack interest. It is what it is. And it can't be easy for a manager or the team. Let's be honest, Frank, what they've dealt with over the course of the last week or so. To have a visiting player come in here, hit home runs, get standing ovations every time he goes to the plate, people celebrating a visiting player. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm as big of a Pujols fan as you're going to find. And then to have the Blues come there with the Stanley Cup and get celebrated the way that they are. You've got the leader of the team, Yadier Molina, taking pictures with the cup, celebrating. All that stuff was going on. I'm not so sure how comfortable everybody was with that when you consider the team isn't playing great baseball right now.
I had former Major League umpire Dave Phillips on last Tuesday on my show. He said, Charlie, I'm on old school. Could you imagine if they would have come out and give Pujols that ovation if Bob Gibson were pitching? He would have knocked them down. Yeah. And what the catcher did while the pitcher was on the mound, total disrespectful to your own team.
But
I know you love Pujols.
I'll tell you what, though.
One time's enough.
It could not have worked out any better in one sense. You had the Pujols moment. Maybe you didn't need 13 of those moments, mm-hmm. but you ended up winning 2 out of 3, and in the final game you actually showed a little heart when you thought it was over and you scored 4 runs in the bottom of the ninth. But let me just say this, if this team was managed by Mike Matheny, he would be killed. If Mike Shildt thinks mm-hmm. that he's catching some heat now,
oh, just wait.
Did he not live through what Matheny had to go through?
But this is his first season. They're going to give him a little taste.
Yeah, and this guy has more talent. Matheny didn't have a supposed face of the franchise first baseman. He didn't have a healthy Dexter Fowler.
Right.
He didn't have a productive Marcelo Zuna.
Right.
I mean.
And people were, listen, people loved to hate on Mike Matheny because he wasn't asking them to go to dinner and have ice cream after the games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And sitting around and having orange juice before the games. So, therefore, it was quick. I mean, once the change was made, everybody was going after Mike Matheny. Mike Shildt, the greatest thing that's ever come to St. Louis, the way he explains all his decisions.
That was a good word.
I mean, just how great this guy is, his communication, how he deals with the media. He's the greatest thing that's ever come into St. Louis. That was a year ago.
We said it was coming.
1 year.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people now want to turn the page on this particular manager. It's a long year. I think it's a little bit stressful. When you get another team in town, the Cardinals have always been the big bad beast. This is the first time, maybe ever, that they're playing second fiddle. And it's well-deserved. The Blues earned to be the king of the sports town here in St. Louis.
And they're going to be king the rest of the season, though.
But I don't think – I think it's a little bit difficult for some people to handle.
It's like the commish said, how much of an impact does a manager really have? See, I don't blame Shildt for this. I look at this roster – this is not an electrifying roster.
No.
I mean, what do you got? What outfielder do you love besides the one who's going to leave you in 3 months, Marcelo Zuna?
Who led the team in RBIs in June? Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, Dexter Fowler.
Of all people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you have the third baseman who's has just been really just brutal all season. Goldschmidt's not living up to expectations. Colton Wong's like a 239, 240 hitter. I don't blame the manager.
No, every standing ovation we've seen at Busch Stadium over the course of the past few weeks has been for something other than a player in a Cardinal uniform. Okay, so, we've seen ovations with players in an Angels uniform, in an Oakland A's uniform, and in a Blues uniform. We haven't seen a whole lot of ovations taking place of a player in a Cardinal uniform.
Shows you how bad they are as a team. Wong and Goldschmidt almost have the same amount of RBIs. That tells you about this team.
Yeah.
Plus your core players that are making these big contracts. They may, some of them are in the third and fourth quarters of their careers. So we don't know if they're going to get any better now at all. This may be it. And you can't get rid of them because of the contract.
And how do you, like change this roster dramatically? When Dexter Fowler's owed, like, $35 million, Miles Michaelis just signed a $68 million deal. The extension for Paul Goldschmidt. The $39 million that Matt Carpenter is owed.
When do you start looking at the – your president and general manager of the team.
I mean,
what is that going to happen?
If they don't make it this year, four straight years.
Well, who's that?
Who's that in the
somebody
background?
Somebody coming out of the pineapples over
where's
here.
Where's that at? We have
he should have looked
at
him.
What was that? A rat or something?
I have to preach up about Jay Locke.
Where'd you come from?
Here.
Somebody in the pineapple department.
What up, dog?
Wait a minute, Jim. You letting people talk on the street?
I love it. You can talk anytime you want, Plowsy.
Go ahead, Plowsy. You know that stuff.
I'm just saying, I think Mozeliak should have been looked at more closely 2 years ago.
Yeah. I don't. Sometimes when you make yourself, when you move from GM to president, it kind of like makes you almost bulletproof because they don't fire presidents, they fire GMs. But don't we all realize that John Mozeliak is still the GM?
Let me tell you something. By the media being so, I'm not going to say the media is weak, but we're not being in your face top media, it gives him a pass. But if he was in any other, if he was in New York or Chicago, they would be in Mo's face. Not the president, not the new GM, because he hadn't done anything. He didn't sign these players. Mo did.
Okay, but let me ask you guys. Okay, you're the president, and Miles Mikolas has this 18-4 season, and he's going to be a free agent. You pay him, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a chance to acquire Paul Goldschmidt, who's been one of the best players in the world for the last 5 years. You pay him, right?
Nope.
You don't pay Goldschmidt?
No, because if you look at his the past two seasons.
We talked about this.
He started to
decline. He was trending down.
He was declining.
Well, he still ended up with 34 home runs last year.
Yeah, but you know what? He was trending.
High OPS.
We talked about this. Brian Hoffman actually agreed with me at the time the trade was made. I just looked at it because, listen, I don't follow Paul. I don't collect baseball cards at home. I don't sit there and follow him.
You're not
close.
A cheerleader.
You're not a big wins above replacement guy?
No. I look at home runs, RBI, hits, batting average. I look at the stats from month to month. Look at the splits. You know, a lot of that stuff that
requires. He was great the second half of last year.
That requires a degree sometimes, it goes over my head. But it looked like, it was worth the risk. He's been a great player for a long time. But you always wonder, why is a team letting him walk away at the same time?
That's like letting in football and left tackle get away.
You know, so maybe his best years are behind him. He still can be a very effective player. Yeah. If he had better players around him, if they were in a pennant race, if they're going to be in a pennant race down the stretch, he's a guy you're comfortable with when he's up at the plate. With men on base in a clutch situation, no question.
See, I have no problem at all with that move. Now, the move that you really question is Matt Carpenter, and why did you give him that extension?
I like what Andy
Van Slyke. Why not just wait to the end of the year?
I like what Andy Van Slyke said on your show last week about these guys, man. He broke it down to every single player.
And well, how about what he said about Harrison Bader? I thought it was the best comment.
When he hits the ball out of the
– He says, if Harrison Bader ever hits a fly ball during batting practice – pull him out of the cage
and don't
let him play.
Don't let him play.
Because the only thing that guy's got to realize is you hit line drives. You try to hit home runs in spring in batting practice, you're
take
done.
Take him out. He told him to take him out of the batting cage.
Yeah.
Point blank.
That was about as riving an hour of baseball conversation.
Wow. Oh, fantastic.
He was.
I actually pulled over
what
on
is
the parking
lot
and listened.
You know what he's doing? This
your,
is really
car,
cool.
Your radio doesn't work when you're driving?
No, I was going somewhere, but I sat in my parking lot to listen to the rest of the interview.
He has financed a home for people who get out of prison to help them make the transition.
Really?
Yeah.
Slick.
Yeah, so he's done some really nice things.
Good for him, man.
All right, let's see what else. Oh, I wanted to get your take here, Charlie, because I know you'll not like this. About St. Louis. This past year has proved Stan Kroenke wrong.
Mm.
And Ben Fred, with kind of provocative column today about basically what he's saying is that on the way out, Stan kind of trashed it in that 29-page relocation application with lines that were kind of cheap shots at St. Louis. Is a market that in all likelihood will be unable to sustain three professional sports. The market lacks a robust regional area from which to draw individuals and corporations that are not already attending games and purchasing tickets. Compared to all U.S. cities, St. Louis is really struggling. That's what Stan said on the way out.
Well, we are losing. We have lost a lot of corporations in the past 10 years. Fortune 500 companies have just deserted Clayton. So partially what he's saying is correct. But it's about business, though, Frank. It's a business move.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But, I mean, what we've seen here in St. Louis, like it was maybe the best major championship the PGA's had in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
What happened with the Blues, what's about to happen with the MLS, the Cardinals are a mediocre team and they're still drawing 45,000.
Well, the MLS is holding us hostage.
Are they
right
driving
now.
They are they drawing 45,000?
Well, the ticket sales. I mean, some of the Pujols ticket sales nights, I think that Friday was
40. Well, Pujols, if they had Pujols playing
every,
the Cardinals,
maybe
they would draw 45,000.
But regardless, in terms of percentage tickets sold for the stadium, they're one of the tops in all of baseball.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
But this city, what else is there to do here?
But you know what? At the time when Stan Kroenke left, now he didn't need to say all that. I mean, he could have left with.
Yeah, I'm just going to get make more
bit,
money.
A little bit it's of class, right? But instead, he took a road that he should never have taken. He wasn't going to win anybody over, and he completely tarnished his name in this town for life, forever.
Doesn't
right?
care.
Never
no.
be forgiven.
He doesn't
no,
care.
He probably doesn't care. But I guarantee you, if he had to do it over again, he would have chosen to do it differently in terms of some of the comments that he made on the way out.
I disagree totally.
Do you think that's the case?
I disagree.
You really do.
I disagree.
I don't.
You don't know that. The temperament of Stan Kroenke and
nobody,
Stan Kroenke.
I don't care how wealthy you are. Nobody likes to be hated,
well,
especially
no
the guy
matter what,
who grew up in the state.
If
man.
He didn't trash the city, he still would have been hated no matter what happened.
Doesn't matter. I'm just saying the comments. I'm just saying the comments.
Well, if that was the case, he wouldn't like what he was doing with his soccer team over in London. He wouldn't like what he was doing with
his
basketball team
that's
and the
London.
Hockey team. They hate him out there. That's just Stan Kroenke, man.
But the level of hate in Colorado doesn't compare to the level of hate that you have
well,
here
what
in
does
St.
it
Louis.
Matter? What, let me tell you, what does it matter if you hate? A lot of billionaires and millionaires are disliked.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Sean Conn. He was a guy on trying to buy this team, and when it came time for the Rams to leave, he didn't even put it up a deciding
okay.
vote. They don't care, man. It's about money.
But let me tell you this. It is about money, and he doesn't care if people like him or not. All I'm saying is, in my opinion, if he had to do it over again,
well,
I don't know if he would have made some of the comments
see,
that he made to trash the people and trash the city on his way out. That's all I'm saying.
We need to – you got to look at every outline, every comment he made and see was he continually right. So we're not millionaires. We don't understand the mentality of a guy that's a businessman like that. They just don't care. I know you want to be liked by everybody, but you can't. That's why you get to that level.
But I get that. It's not about the money. Listen, I don't – for me, it's not about his decision to make a business move and what was best for him in his pocketbook and what was best for him from a business standpoint. You could easily argue he made the best business decision. But it's the comments he made on his way out.
What comment bothered you, that the city wasn't a sports town?
Listen, didn't bother me, man. I'm just saying. But what's led to a column like this and people always constantly going back to him saying St. Louis is a trap. You know, the comments that he made on his way out in reference to the city, I think he probably would have done
all,
that over a little bit differently.
First of all, who wrote this column?
Ben Fredrickson.
Was he here in town when the Rams were here? No.
Well,
did
yeah,
he know
you
the
can,
true story? I know you can do your research. Does he know the entire story when Stan Kroenke was here from the beginning to the end? That's what you got to write a story from. You got to know the entire story. From the Georgia's kids that couldn't play the death tax, you got to go all the way in and see what happened.
Yeah, it's a shame, though, that Chad Conn, he had this team bought, and then
mm-hmm.
the 11th hour,
I will
Kroenke
say,
legally
right.
exercised the
what do
the
people
right
say about Sean Conn? Oh, we don't want a foreigner owning this team.
And
remember
he,
those
he,
comments?
He'd rather be here than Jacksonville.
You didn't say it, but some of the fans did.
He'd rather be here than Jacksonville, okay?
Probably.
Than owning the Jacksonville team. I'm sure he's had some decent experiences.
Yeah, don't you think St. Louis would be a better football city than Jacksonville?
Oh, absolutely.
No,
one
had,
way in,
they,
one way
out.
My daughter
good,
lives there.
They had
she
good,
says the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
She says a whole different animal down there.
You got Mark Lamping running their operation.
They had a good year a couple years ago, right, when they went to the AFC Championship or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. But, you know.
It's not a football.
And now
it's
Shad's talking about playing all these games in London, too.
Of course. But
remember, they didn't have enough hotels for the Super Bowl. You had to put people
that's
on
right,
ships.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed personally going out to Rams training camp.
That was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun. You know, I watched a documentary, a 30 for 30 last night on the 1983 draft. Actually, Howard Balzer was prominent in there.
He looked like Tom Selleck,
oh,
didn't he?
Did the year of the quarterback?
He did. And they also
Demoff?
The year of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Marvin Demoff was all over
it. He was brilliant, especially for an older gentleman to remember that stuff.
Well, he wrote like a journal or something from back in the
read
day.
Read from his notes.
It was incredible. But then also our good friend, the former PR
artist?
No, of the San Diego Chargers and then the Rams, Rick Smith. He was interviewed in their prominent. And it just made me kind of miss football a little bit here in St. Louis. I know people say, they don't care about the NFL and whatever, and they just turned the page on
they're
it.
They're fibbing.
No,
they're
yeah.
fibbing.
And I'm sure maybe they did, but that doesn't mean that if you had a choice, that you wouldn't have want the National Football League to be here, especially in the month of July when training camp gets started.
Absolutely.
There's really nothing else going on here in St. Louis besides the Cardinals. It's always fun to go out there and watch a little football.
Frank, practice. What was your take when the judge, which we knew he was going to do it, announced the $24 million PSL thing with the Rams?
Oh, I enjoyed that.
Well, you enjoyed that, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet you jumped
the big one, the big one, Chuck, you know is coming.
Yeah.
The NFL relocation thing where they could get hit. We, $100 million, who knows, $200
million. Now, that would hurt.
Did they violate the NFL relocation laws, the league and the Rams, by this move?
Don't count on St. Louis winning that either.
I think everything is trending their way. You know, all the preliminary injunctions.
Where is that being? Is that
all going to be
held
in St. Louis? Louis. Yeah. And, you know, Stan has tried to move it to an arbitrator.
Right.
Everything Stan has asked for.
Is he going to have to appear and testify?
That's what
that?
Many people believe.
They think so.
And what about Kevin Demoff? Oh.
If Stan doesn't, Demoff will, no matter
like
what.
You don't like Demoff, do you?
Well,
no, he doesn't like Demoff.
I understand. I knew Demoff's father very well, Marvin. But I didn't – Demoff, Kevin – he just had that personality, man. He'd look at you crazy. He wouldn't smile.
Here's the thing with Kevin.
He got the job because of John Shaw.
Yeah. And his
father,
right? Is that gambling thing? What's that story? You think that's true?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
What is it?
Well,
oh, John Shaw?
We're talking about pineapple, aren't we?
Hey.
This story is so incredible.
Oh, boy.
Listen. Something about a gambling debt. And
Kevin Demoff. Listen, I was never a big fan of Kevin Demoff. You know, although he would answer text messages, he would always be willing to answer questions if it meant that he could kind of.
He liked you.
He did. I got along with Kevin. And I always understood that Kevin, as a young guy, got an opportunity most people would never get because of who his dad was and the connections they had in the National Football League. And he had a boss he had to report to, which was Stan Kroenke. Stan Kroenke trusted him and said, hey, here's the deal. What was he supposed to really do?
Thank you.
I mean, you do was he supposed to publicly trash Stan Kroenke and trash the idea of leaving? No, he had to put bread on his table.
Man.
He was trying to make some money.
He was the Sarah Sanders
doesn't mean we had to like
Stan
him.
Kroenke.
I didn't like the way he carried himself, how he handled himself. Seemed a little bit like a snake, and I always thought that he, you know, people who don't
more
really
than a little bit.
The team had the team had a better personality when Jay Zygmunt and all those guys were here. Jay Zygmunt had a
He
had a personality,
guy,
classy guy.
That whole front office, Charlie Army was a really good man.
Right. I never
Rick Smith was right to you.
I never took Kevin Demoff serious as an NFL executive. I just didn't.
Well, he wasn't.
I just didn't take him serious.
He wasn't.
I'm like, this guy
he still isn't.
Is not. I just can't take you serious, man. I apologize. I can't do it.
All right, let's take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from Snooks. Our title sponsor is Hollywood Casino. If you're looking for a place for the weekend, we recommend Hollywood Casino, where the food is just outstanding at 99 Hops House, Charlie Gito's, the all-you-can-eat buffet, and, of course, Final Cut Steakhouse, one of the best places in town. Head on out to Hollywood Casino this weekend. Do a little people watching, do a little gambling. You will absolutely love it. We'll be right back.